Trent's Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and I ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I am Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
And hey, I'm Sam Tweedle.
We punched the walls of reality and brought Sam back.
Yes. Yay. Yes. Hello, everybody. How are you guys this week?
Good.
Good.
I'm full of energy for no reason.
You know what?
So
me too.
I'm like
Well, I've been ill for a while, and I've also been keeping really weird hours late nights. And this week, I finally caught up on my sleep, and I'm not sick anymore, and I feel fantastic. I feel so ready to go. Let's do this.
I decided to have a good weekend, whether it happens or not.
That's awesome. Good for you. It's good to see you evolving.
This is me being positive.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds painful.
Yay.
All right. No. All right. So do you want to talk about comics? I have comics to talk about.
I'm having a good time. Let's talk about comics.
All right. So.
What you got?
This is what I got. Chris, our friend Chris Gilpin, who's not here this week.
We're not even going to get into the reason why he's here.
Should we say why he's not
here? We mocked you for going to see Gem and the Holograms.
Why is he here? I don't even know why he's not here.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Where's Gilpin? Okay.
Chris is at the one-year pre-venursary of the day he's going to get married.
What?
They're celebrating the day... 1 year from now, they're getting married. So today, see, I can't use the word anniversary because anniversary means something that you're celebrating that has
now,
passed.
Is this
in the future.
Is this just him and Christine doing this?
Yes, they're having a little romantic dinner and stuff.
How cute is that?
Is it?
Yeah, you know what? It is. It's
like
it's
I'm
nice.
All for romance and stuff, and I get the romance part
it's
of
cute.
That. But why are we celebrating weird things?
It's cute.
As a general society, not just Christmas.
It's adorable.
When did gender reveals become a thing?
That's a confusing one too.
When did engagement photos become a thing? I've been married twice and I haven't had engagement photos done ever.
I've
had 4 kids and I've never smacked a pink baseball and let watch pink powder go everywhere.
Any time that we can make an excuse to celebrate, I think we should. You know, my least favorite coworker left work, and the next day, my boss. Through a pizza party.
Well, yeah.
Just to celebrate the
you
fact
should do that,
that. Yeah, yeah. See, it was a party. We were celebrating the.
We should do that.
That our least favorite coworker left.
Now, don't get me wrong. Romance is romance.
Right.
Romance for any reason is good. It is sweet.
I think it's sweet.
So. I'm a little confused, but it's sweet.
All right. So, Chris Gilpin got me a huge box of Archie comics. And it was maybe about a month or so ago that he got me these box, but for whatever reason, I guess I was in a funk or whatever, but I just didn't go through it, even though there was, I don't know, something like 150 different Archie comics. Now, they're all kind of beat up, and they're not in great shape or anything, but I swear, it's just a giant box of happiness. That's what it is. So anyways, I started actually going through the box, and I found so many gems amongst for Archie books. One of the books that was in it, people may see online every now and then these memes where they have where it's Jughead and he's all punk. That issue was in there.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. There's one Archie book I want to talk about. Actually, this was something I really loved. I think that this will have a big effect on all of us here in the studio. It is from Katie Keene, number 30, from 1989. There's an ad in the front page here. I wish that radio could see the ad, but it is for Morning Funny Cereal. Morning Funny Cereal. And which I guess didn't make it as a cereal. I guess what the shtick was is that it was a box of cereal where they had comics from the newspaper on the box. So you could read it while you ate your cereal.
Right on.
Look who's on the advertisement.
Is that Captain Canuck?
No. It's Luann.
Oh, so that's Luann.
Look, it's Luann. Yeah. Yeah, Luann's on the advertisement.
Well, I didn't know that was Luann.
Well, it is.
It's new.
When you put the podcast out, edit in that it looks like we knew.
Okay.
And some crowd cheering and applause.
Yeah. See, isn't that great? So that's like my favorite thing I've found this week in a comic, except for this. Okay.
I've never seen or heard of this cereal.
No, I don't think it really did well. Who's some of the other characters on there? We got Hagar the Horrible on there.
Bram and Lois.
Bram and Lois?
No.
High and Lois.
Yeah, High and Lois, whatever. Oh, freaking, what's the kid's name? Jimmy from Family Circus?
No, Jeffy.
Jeffy. Oh, I hate that cartoon.
Jeffy is so, you know, the thing I hate about Jeffy is there's something about him that is just smug.
Oh.
Don't you find Jeffy smug? He's smug. There's
Dennis the Menace.
Funky Witherbean.
Who's Funky Witherbean? Beetle Bailey's here.
Oh, yeah, Beetle Bailey. There's Funky Witherbean there.
Oh, I have no idea who Funky Witherbean is.
Now, did you know Beetle Bailey was a spinoff of High and Lois?
Yep.
And that Beetle is Lois's brother.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chick Stone. Inking by Chick Stone. Why do I know that name?
Chick Stone.
What else did Chick Stone do?
He did Hagar.
Yeah, he did inking on Katie Keene. Now, for whatever stupid reason, probably because I'm English was my second language, I always pronounce that Kathy King. I know there's no H there, but forever and a day, I always said Kathy Keene.
Yeah. Well, we should take a photo and put that up on our Facebook page so people can see that.
Look, it's Luann.
But I am so excited about this book. This is one. Okay, so I've actually managed to get all the Archie books on my list that I've been trying to collect over the years.
Nice.
And one that I got, and I've been looking for this for years, this is, and I want to talk about this for a while, because I think this is one of the friggin', I actually wrote a whole article about this a number of years ago. This is the first appearance of Glenn Scarpelli in a comic book.
Oodalale.
Now, do you guys know who Glenn Scarpelli is?
He is a boy toy / teen heartthrob that was neither a boy nor a toy nor a teen heartthrob.
Pretty much, yeah. So Glenn Scarpelli was the son of Henry Scarpelli, who was comic guy. He started on doing DC humor titles like Date with Debbie and Wilbur, and the later issues of Swing with Scooter, where because Swing with Scooter didn't look like an Archie comic at first, but in the final later issues they did, that was Glenn Scarpelli, and eventually Archie hired him. You know, if you can't beat him, join him, right? And he had this son named Glenn Scarpelli. Well, Glenn, who considered himself an actor, got a role on the hit sitcom One Day at a Time. Now, I don't know if you guys have a working knowledge of One Day at a Time or not. Anybody?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. So Glenn played the Jump the Shark kid. He was literally the One Day at a Time's cousin Oliver. Okay, so when the oldest daughter, who was played by Mackenzie Phillips, left the series, where she quote-unquote ran away, but what she was really doing in real life was cleaning up of a drug problem. Glenn Scarpelli.
Did she leave the series? Or was she asked to leave the series?
Well, she was asked to leave the series, but she came back for the final couple seasons after she kicked her drug problem. Glenn Scarpelli was like the adopted kid that came in to replace her. Well, Archie Comics was like, oh my God, Henry's kid's in a TV show. He's going to be the next big thing. We're going to give him his own comic. So they created a strip called Glenn Scarpelli in Hollywood, which was the adventures of Glenn Scarpelli. Like, they were really hoping he'd be the next David Cassidy or next Bobby Sherman, you know, but it didn't really pan out. He never became, I think he did two seasons of One Day at a Time, then they wrote him out, and then he did Do you guys do you remember the show Jennifer Slept Here?
No.
All right. I think it lasted like 10 episodes or something. He was on that. And then his career just faded out. He never, just like you said, he never quite made it. But man, did they try to push him in these Archie comics. And this book is just ridiculous. Like, I'm reading this book, and I wish we could had time and we had more people to do comic book theater, because this would be a really fun story to do. But there's more characters than we have people in the studio. And it's literally like this thing where it's like, hey, Glenn Scarpelli, I just want to read. Can I read a little bit from this? Okay. So.
You read that. I'm trying to look up what he's doing now.
All right. So I'm going to talk. There's two characters in this. It's Clyde and Charlie. All right. Clyde and Charlie. And Charlie goes, nice going, Clyde. You were supposed to be working on the wheels while I picked wild berries for our breakfast, remember? And Clyde says, sorry, Charlie. I got to listening to a real sizzler from Glenn Scarpelli's newest album and forgot all about our busted motor. And then Clyde says, Glenn Scarpelli, the dude who played Alex on the TV show called One Day at a Time? And Charlie goes, yep. He's also had big roles in other TV shows, movies. No.
Sam's shaking his head
and
violently.
And Broadway plays. That might be true. And then...
Are you just reading an ad?
No, no. Is it? And Charlie goes, yeah, Scarpelli's a big name, all right.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, it was in two Broadway plays.
Oh, was he? Great. So anyways... And then, so anyways, what happens is this, Clyde and Charlie, they end up conning the Archies into believing that they can get Glenn Scarpelli to be in a concert with them. So they sell all these tickets to, you know, for Glenn Scarpelli and the Archies. And so I'll read a little bit more here. And everybody goes nuts because Glenn Scarpelli, who's the biggest thing on earth, is coming to Riverdale. You know, he's bigger than DeBarge. And... Archie goes, we've got radio spots, full-page newspaper advertisements, more handbills, several rented mobile ticket sale units, and like all the advertising is getting results. Dig the crowds buzzing in all from all over the country, not to mention the movie and TV stars, all friends of Glenn Scarpelli. But, of course, you know, they didn't actually have Glenn Scarpelli, but what happens is Glenn Scarpelli finds out, I wish that we were on TV and not radio, because I got to show you this panel. Glenn Scarpelli flies in on a helicopter. Look at that. Look at that. And he saves the day. And Glenn Scarpelli shows up. And the thing that drives me nuts about this is, so this was drawn by Henry Scarpelli. I know what Glenn Scarpelli looks like, and he does not look like that. That doesn't even look like Glenn Scarpelli. His own dad can't even draw him right.
I do think it's funny that he's drawn a completely different style than everybody else in the book.
I know.
Yeah, he doesn't look like an Archie character.
And the other thing, too, is he doesn't even look like that. It's a horrible rendition of Glenn Scarpelli. So what's he doing now? Obviously not in Archie comics.
Sorry. Unlike you guys, I didn't get enough sleep this week, so I'm yawning like crazy. Glenn started a community television station in 2003 with his gay lover.
Mm-hmm.
They got married in California. They split up in 2012, and that was the end of the Wikipedia article.
Oh. I love
it. But you're all like getting down on Glenn Scarpelli. He's a bona fide star. You know why I know he's a bona fide star?
Why?
He was in an episode of Love Boat. And MacGyver.
Well, boom.
Done. Boom.
Boom.
You know you've made it when you're on Love Boat.
I like Glenn Scarpelli. I really do. I find this funny. I love this. It says, on the cover of the book, Reggie says, Glenn Scarpelli has everything, Archie. Looks, talent, charisma. All the girls idolize him. And Archie says, but does that have to include Betty and Veronica? But meanwhile, little did they know that Glenn was probably more an Archie and Reggie. Oh my God.
I got a trick question for you.
Yeah, okay.
How does one actor play three different characters in Love Boat?
What do you mean?
He was in an episode as Mark Hammond. He was in another episode as Alan Stevens. And then he was in another episode as Boomer Panner.
Because he is the multi-talented Glenn Scarpelli.
So I take it back. He's not bona fide because he wasn't like one of those people that walked across the gangplank, got met by Julie and because that was always like the parade of former actors, former stars.
Yeah.
As they came off the gangplank, and Julie's like, "Hi, welcome to the love boat.
Anyways.
You laugh. I almost bought Walmart. I found Love Boat Season 1, Part 1. I don't know what that means.
No.
For $14 or $8.
When?
The day or two ago.
Oh, I totally need that.
Yeah, but it's just Part 1, so it's like only the first 12 episodes.
Oh, well, still, it'd be fun to watch.
Well, that means that there's got to be like a box set.
A box set somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Amazon.
Yeah, but I think what I love about Glenn Scarpelli in Hollywood, and there was two Glenn Scarpelli covers with him on it, and I have both of them now, because this was the first one, and then there was a second one which I already had, and I have multiple, like, they usually put Glenn Scarpelli in Pep Comics and Archie's TV Laugh Out, so that's usually where you can find some Glenn Scarpelli in Hollywood comics. I just think the whole thing was misguided nepotism. It was a weird comic. It was a weird idea that never spun off, that nobody really knows about or even cares about except me. I remember one time talking to Dan Perrin about it, and I asked him about it, and he was like, wow, I forgot that Glenn had a comic at once. And yeah.
Sorry, did he have like his own comic?
No. He had his own strips.
Oh.
Like, they actually had, like, a Glenn Scarpelli in Hollywood was a regular feature in Archie Comics.
Oh, okay. But he never got his own title.
He never had his own book. Yeah. He, as I said, he was usually in Pep Comics and Archie's TV Laugh Out. Yeah. But, those are my things. I was really happy to finally get this, the first appearance of Glenn Scarpelli in an Archie comic.
CGC it.
I don't know. You know, I wrote an article about this a number of years ago, and I tried to do some research to see how many Glenn Scarpelli in Hollywood comics there are, but there is no data on the net about the, the runs of, like, how many Glenn Scarpelli titles there were.
No idea.
No.
How much, Sam, would you pay for seasons 1 and 2 of Love Boat?
$30.
Apparently it's a four set, because like season 1 is like a release of the first, like, I hate it when they do that, just give me all of the first season. But it's season 1 part 1, season 1 part 2, season 2 part 1, and season 2 part 2. Well, the box set that contains all four sets for, so complete season 1 and 2, $130 Canadian.
That's too much. I'm not gonna pay that.
That's no bueno.
No way. Man, I mean, I bet you we could, like, just go hang out at Isaac's house for less than that.
Probably. Yeah. Now, mind you, they've got the Love Boat Volume 1, Season 1 for $21.73. And like I said, I'm sure I saw it there for, like, $8 or $15.
Do you remember what Isaac's catchphrase was?
What?
Isaac had a catchphrase.
No, I just remember he used to do six guns.
He used to go, out of sight.
Did he say out of sight?
Yeah, he said out of sight.
I know he had the six guns.
Yeah. Yeah, I've become obsessed with Chico and the Man lately. I've just become obsessed with Chico and the Man, and I found a guy that's doing bootleg Chico and the Man online for $25 for the entire series, in which I am totally buying myself for Christmas.
That is not a series I ever was really into.
Oh man, Chico and the Man was great.
No, I was a Sanford and Sons kind of guy.
Yeah, I never really got into that one.
I think what it is probably the channels that we caught, on reruns.
Well, I remember that Chico and the Man was on TV, but I didn't get it. I didn't really like it because I didn't understand it. But then when I was older, like, I don't know, in my 20s, I caught some episodes when I was traveling in the States one time, and I thought it was hilarious. They did release a set out not long ago with six or eight episodes or whatever, which I bought. It was great. And also, I just really like Freddie Prinze, and I just find him so tragic. But the most tragic thing about Freddie Prinze is if you do a Google image search for Freddie Prinze, it's just his idiot son that shows up.
Now.
Well.
You're talking about
You're talking about the guy that played Fred Jones.
Yeah,
Scooby-Doo.
I was going to say Wing Commander. Gosh, I like that movie. God, that's a guilty pleasure of mine. Yeah. What a horrible sci-fi flick, and yet I just love watching it.
We all have them.
Wing Commander.
Yeah. So, anyways, we've really strayed off topic.
I can bridge the gap between Archie and TV and say, hey, did you guys know that there's a new Archie show? The Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina dropped today.
Did it drop today? I can't
dropped
wait.
Today.
I cannot wait to see it.
On the Flix.
I cannot wait to see it. It looks so good.
I watched the first 15 minutes in the back room at work today while I was killing some time, and I thought it was pretty good.
What is she from?
I don't know. I don't even know who she is.
And you know what? I was thinking about it, is that if I was true to my convictions, I should be against this new Sabrina show. I should be like, this is not my Sabrina, but you know what? I'm just a whore.
But you don't know, right?
I'm going to watch it, man. I can't wait to see it. It looks so good.
But you don't know whether it's going to be true or not.
I don't care.
And you know,
it's by the makers of Riverdale, I know. Well, I don't care.
See, and the thing is, I'm all over it. I was watching. I haven't watched more than one episode of Riverdale.
Okay.
Intentionally. Tabitha forced me to watch some of the previous episode that just aired because she said it was so cringy I had to watch it.
What do you mean by cringy?
They have Archie and a rival gang. He's in a gang, and there's a rival gang, and they're in prison, and they're playing football, and the winner is, like, gets something. I don't know.
Extra pudding cups?
I don't know what they get. Veronica brings the cheerleaders down to the prison and they all dance to Jailhouse Rock.
What?
While the guys
how
are playing
is this,
football.
How is this series popular?
I don't know.
my God, I hate Archie comics.
But so I don't.
No, you don't.
I don't know. In the first 15 minutes, there was a little bit of like musical stuff like that, like not to that extent, but like just more music than I'm used to in a normal show.
Okay.
Where like characters are kind of like singing along to a song and stuff. But guess who's in the, so it's being released in parts.
What, Sabrina?
Like, yeah, it says like part one, episode one is out.
What?
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe it's all out and that's just what came up. I don't know. But
because they used to,
have to
like
check.
The first season they released weekly.
Yeah, for Riverdale and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like the CW shows, sometimes they get put on Netflix weekly.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not sure on the release schedule, but Michelle Gomez is in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Man.
So.
It just looks amazing.
Who? Michelle Gomez, who plays Missy from Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The thing, I guess, what works for me about the aesthetic of Sabrina. See, I'm really into horror films, and I really love the horror genre, and it just, you know, something about putting horror into Sabrina, it's not a stretch, and it seems to work for me.
And have you read the comics? Like the
Yeah, I like them. Yeah.
Because they kind of like died there for a bit.
Well, they haven't.
I think I got issue 1, 2, and 3. And
they haven't released an issue for a year.
Yeah.
But I think they've only released one issue in the last 2 years.
Because it was pretty good.
It's solid. I really like it. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this series. And as I said, it kind of goes against everything that I've said about Riverdale, how I won't touch it, but. I don't know. I do want to see this one. So I'm in.
And the main actress, I'll mispronounce her name for sure, but Kiernan Shipka.
Okay.
Appears to be her name, and she
is
might have recognized her from Mad Men.
Yes.
She was Sally
Draper.
That's
it.
Yeah. Hey, and do you know why Salem the cat's barely going to be in this?
No.
Because apparently she's allergic to cats.
Oh, excellent.
So just like you.
No, I'm allergic to life.
Marty's allergic to cats. Oh my god, he can't. The moment he never comes to my into my apartment. He doesn't come to visit me in my apartment.
I come near your house and my eyeball starts twitching and feeling like there's cat hairs in it. I haven't even gone around the corner yet.
I didn't believe that people were actually allergic to cats. I thought they were just jerks about cats. And then I met Marty, and all of a sudden, like he comes into my home and his whole face swells up, like his eyes swell shut, and
You think I make a lot of nasal noises now? Get me around a cat. You're
oh like, my god, he's the worst.
Well, yeah. Are you ready to go? Yep.
Yeah. Did you guys? Any of you guys catch Titans yet?
I've seen episode 1 and 2.
Yep.
Oh, I haven't seen any.
I really like
fucking Dove.
It's good. It's good.
Oh,
right?
Dove. Oh, Dove.
Well,
oh,
I like Dove. Her, yeah.
Minka
yeah.
Kelly.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dove. And then she's wearing all the costume. Oh, I'm going to need a moment here. You guys go ahead.
Now, I really like Titans a lot. And what I think of the thing about Titans, were we talking, I don't remember if we said it on the show, if we said it off air, but we were wondering about the oversaturation of DC projects. Shows well, for the new channel.
There's a lot of oversaturation Marvel stuff, too.
Yeah, but because we're going to be doing, Suicide Squad? Not Suicide Squad.
Well, they're building an entire channel.
Right. They get the Secret Six, Stargirl, Batwoman. I can't remember some of the other shows, but the thing is if they are of the quality of Titans at all, I think we're up for a treat.
No, mind you,
I'm really enjoying Titans. The guy that's playing Robin is fantastic.
Now, mind you, I mean, the same kind of argument you have against Riverdale, someone who is a diehard Teen Titans fan, like super, super diehard. Like, I loved Teen Titans when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I could see them having the same kind of problems.
Why is that?
Like, Robin's super, super violent and dark. He was always the funny, jokey kid.
I think he's the best. I think he's probably the best screen Robin ever.
Yeah, but he's the most inaccurate screen Robin ever.
In what sense?
Like I said, he's always supposed to be fairly optimistic. He's the leader. He's always got a funny quip. Like, even in the latest, I was plowing through my to-read list, and I was reading, catching up on Batman, and there was an issue there drawn by Matt Wagner. And I can't remember whether it's 54, 52, mm-hmm. 53, somewhere around there. And it's very much a kind of homage-y Batman and Robin, and Robin's being all punny and jokey, and then they flash forward to Batman and Nightwing after Batman's been dumped by Catwoman, and Nightwing's kind of trying to be jokey to try to pull Batman out of his gloom, and then they go back to and so there's that kind of Robin was the, for lack of better terminology, the Spider-Man of DC Comics. He was always the quippy one, making the jokes and stuff. This new Robin in the TV show, he doesn't act like that at all. But he's all grim and dark. He's like, F Batman. And
I see your point, but I remember the
He's violent.
But I'm thinking of the Nightwing of the 80s, where him and Batman were barely on speaking terms.
Yeah, but even then, he wasn't grim and dark.
You don't think so? I think he kind of was.
This Robin.
Not as grim as this Robin.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
that's my phone.
Okay.
Just ignore it.
This Robin, to me, is Robin pushed through a Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns filter.
Yeah, I can see that.
So you know how Batman was really dark and gritty in Dark Knight Returns? That's what I feel like this Robin is.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and I'm not saying it's bad.
No, I know.
I think it's a good interpretation. But I can see like the diehard type. And especially the second generation of Titan fans, the ones that read Connor Kent and Tim Drake and Casey, whatever the heck her name was.
Sand. Yeah.
So anybody who's big in into that Teen Titans isn't going to be happy with the show. And anybody who's into Teen Titans Go isn't going to be happy with the show. So realistically, nobody should in theory be happy with this show. Because it isn't, it's different. Like, you know, you guys watched Runaways, and you said Runaways was pretty darn close to the TV.
Except for one character.
This is really out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been a longtime Titans fan.
Like my Starfire? Whole life. Starfire is completely out of character.
Completely out of character.
You know?
Yeah, I see your point. I guess I don't know what's going on with me in this series then, because I really like it. And I am like a Titans fan since a kid. I've been reading it almost as long as I've been reading comics.
I think I just call it the Elseworld filter.
I guess.
I just think of everything as, you know, Just like I can have Ultimate Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2029, 2099 all coexist, mm-hmm. I can have this darker version of the Titans on TV coexisting with the Titans comic book. But I'm okay with that.
But you know what? Maybe the problem with me is that I'm just a hypocrite. I just pick and choose when I'm going to go, I want source material, and when I say, no, it's fine.
I think it's a matter of how dear something is to somebody. Like, like if you're a super, super, super huge Wally West fan, you're probably not happy with the TV show.
Mm.
Right? But that, I mean, like a super massive Wally West fan. Like, you're a huge, massive Archie fan. You have a lot emotionally invested in these characters. And then they show you a millennial emo version of the characters doing this weird David Lynchy, but not quite David Lynchy soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait, what? Yeah. So I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah. But, you know, I was just trying to think something about Titans. Now it's me that's my brain's starting to go blue, loo, loo, loo. Loo, 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 loo. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about, and maybe we're going through down a real dark path here. But they've done some casting for the new Birds of Prey movie, which when I first heard about it, I was really excited about. So basically, it's the next film starring the young lady that played Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad. I can't think what her name is. Somebody help me.
Margot Robbie.
I thought it was Hottie McHottieface.
All right. So they were like, they're going to do a film with
Legs her. Legs-alicious?
They were going to do a film with her.
Chesty McGregor?
Anyway. Do a film with Harley Quinn, Black Canary, Huntress, Renee Montoya, and Cassandra Cain's Batgirl.
Yeah, because Harley Quinn had anything to do with the Birds of Prey.
Right, but anyway.
She's the marquee character.
Right. So they did some casting, and one thing they've done, which, you know, we got to get over this whole thing where they start... Every film we know, they're always going to take a white character and turn them into black or Hispanic or Asian or whatever. They're going to do it. It's just the cool thing to do. We've talked about this a million times.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they have cast a black woman to play Black Canary.
Right.
So now it's not just the Black Canary. It's the Black Canary.
Right.
Okay. And as our friend Leonard Kirk one time said, which I thought was a brilliant quote, if the actor can do the part, that's fine. We don't care what race there is. And I feel that way. Like So I look at this woman who's playing Black Canary, and you know how dear the Black Canary is to me.
Yep.
Right? I have absolutely no problem with the actual casting. Is it my favorite casting of all time? Probably not. I'd like a blonde white woman in fishnets, personally. But we're fine. My problem is it going to be the Black Canary that we know in the comics, are they going to make her into a sassy black woman?
I don't know. Because, like, every single actor brings a little bit to the character. Nobody wants to be given a script and said, this is how that character has existed for the last 50 years in these funny pages, so you have to play it exactly like that. So they're going to want to introduce their little flair.
Right.
On top of that, we are not the target audience for any of these movies.
We're not the
demographic. Mm. So, hey, let's appease all these 50-year-old guys that are reading comic books and have, you know, these fetishes for this blonde chick in a wig with fishnets. Or do we do something that we think will sell to a larger population and be popular in China where the movie's going to make $1 billion? And, like, do we do that kind of stuff?
I don't care the race of the character. But what I've seen is I have seen times where they've cast a black woman as a character and then just screwed up the character because they start basing the character on race instead of the character. An example, Alicia Masters in the Fantastic Four films.
Yeah, but those films suck.
Okay.
So I think that's the difference.
Tulip in Preacher.
Yeah, see, I think that's the difference because Lawrence Fishburne kicked butt as Perry White.
Absolutely amazing as Perry White. And, loved him.
And what's his name? Lawrence, not Lawrence Fishburne. I just said Lawrence Fishburne. Why am I brain farting on Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, as
Samuel
Nick
L. Jackson
Fury.
As Nick Fury. He basically redefined the character so much that in the comic books, they switch the character to a bald black guy with an eye patch.
Yeah, because he was so good.
You know?
You know? Look, if
but
you
one want... can argue that Samuel L. Jackson brought a lot of black sass, black male sass, I should say. Like, you're talking about a female sassy black
yeah,
woman.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the sassy black man mm-hmm. with his, you know, ebonics and
but
stuff like that.
Have you actually seen a white man play Nick Fury? I have. It was David Hasselhoff, and it was terrible.
Well, yeah, it's because it was David Hasselhoff. I mean...
You know. I'm sorry.
David should have retired with that leather jacket.
Thing is I have absolutely no fear of a black woman playing my favorite character. What my fear is, how are they going to write that? Are they going to go down some, you know, racial stereotype?
Yeah. I just don't care anymore. I just look at everything, like I said, What If, Elseworlds. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're not going to listen to me if I bitch and complain and whine on the internet. They're not going to change the script and stuff.
Of course not.
So I'm just going with the flow, and I'll either like it or I won't like it. I'll watch it for sure, but
That's your good attitude. Remember, Dan, we were talking about that a few weeks ago, about Marty has the attitude that all fans should have about films.
Well, I went through such a drought of not having any of my heroes represented in popular culture that now that you know, being a comic book geek is cool, I'm just lapping it in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know it's going to end soon. Like, if you were a huge fan of cowboys, when cowboy movies were all the rage, you were probably like, this is the greatest thing ever. And now you get a cowboy movie, what, like once every 10 years?
Something
once
every like
5 years? So I know that it's going to change. You know, the winds are going to change, and superhero movies won't be that popular anymore. But the difference is, for me, am I going to pay $17 to watch it in 3D? Am I going to buy the $30 Blu-ray? Am I going to pirate the movie? Am I going to watch it on Netflix? Am I going to, you know, like, that's my level. Like, the last Fantastic Four movie, I think I got it for $3 at a thrift sale somewhere, and that's when I finally watched it.
I haven't seen it. I don't plan on seeing it.
I've seen it, but, you know, whereas...
Do you remember?
Whereas Venom, we went and saw Venom, and I paid, like, whatever the premium is for the 3DX with the extra...
Do you remember when we were in Hamilton, me, you, and Gilpin, and we had the two hotel rooms that were joined together?
Yeah.
And me and Gilpin were sitting in the one room. I think Gilpin had passed out already. And I was, like, reading comics in the one room, and you decided you were going to bring up Fantastic Four on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, Sam, do you want to come watch Fantastic Four with me? I'll pay for it. And I was like, no.
Yeah. And I ended up not watching it.
Because we ended up watching Saturday Night Live instead,
yeah,
which I probably enjoyed more. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like, if they mess the character up, they mess the character up. There's nothing I can do about mm-hmm. it. So my righteous indignation and anger over the situation and you know, oh, it's not my Black Canary.
But I'm not angry.
I know. That's what I mean. I think you've gotten to the point from a maturity point of view where you've given up on that.
I'm not angry. I just don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah. And if it's not going to be good, you're going to vote with your dollars.
I'm angry. And I'm angry because, you know who else is in this movie?
Which movie?
The Birds of Prey one that we're talking about.
No, who?
Renee Montoya.
Yes.
But not The Question.
Nope. Yeah.
Just as Renee, unless that's like a twist I just spoiled if you don't know. But like.
Maybe later.
But like maybe she's playing like, because Renee was a cop first, right? And then became The Question.
Yeah. What's the name of the original Question? I used to read that from Denny O'Neill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who drew that?
Was it Vic?
Vic Sage.
Yes.
Vic Sage. And Vic it was Paul. Drawn by, he just died. He drew The Creeper, and he drew Hawk
Steve
and Dove.
Ditko?
Steve Ditko.
No. That was the Charlton comics. Steve Ditko drew him in Charlton. I was thinking more of the Denny O'Neill series, but at the same time as Green Arrow, The Longbow Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I remember that series. I never read that one.
I think it was Dennis Cowan that drew it.
Okay, I only have the Charlton issues that Steve Ditko drew.
Well, this was when DC was just about to launch Vertigo, and they had that darker series on the better paper.
Yeah, I remember.
So Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm.
Green Arrow.
Green Arrow. and they released The Question, and it was a good series.
Yeah,
I think it was I honestly think it was Dennis Cowan that drew it, but I'd have to look it up. But yeah, Denny O'Neill wrote it, and well, see now I'm not sure. Now I got to look it up because I'm not even sure Denny O'Neill wrote it. That's how.
Man, wouldn't it have been great if it was Denny O'Neill and Steve Ditko?
That's how bad my memory is these days.
That means he was created by Steve Ditko.
He was created.
Yeah,
it
was created. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Charlton. And you're not wrong.
Yeah, Vic Sage, Charles Victor Zsasz, better known as Vic Sage.
Vic Sage. Yeah, there we go.
I'm surprised that I remember that.
All right,
honestly.
Team effort. Look at us. Remember things about The Question? Yeah.
I really liked one of the best part, like you know, the series 52.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was a great, like, I thought that was a great series, and The Question was a good part of that. And Batwoman's introduction was in there.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah.
It's a good series.
Yeah, I sold those to Gregory. Yeah. After my big $1 comic sale.
The $1 comic sale.
All of my, the weekly series were in there.
So, yeah, it was indeed Denny O'Neill and Dennis Cowan.
Okay, cool.
But it was really good. Mm-hmm. That's the cover of the trade paperback. It's not quite. But it was a great series. Oh, my goodness.
Man, he has, like, quite the haircut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Charlton series, I don't think you ever saw him without his hat on, did you?
No, you didn't really.
But it was pretty good. I liked that. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I did read a comic book.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
It's kind of, well, I shouldn't say I read a comic book. I read a ton of comic books because I'm finally plowing through my to-read list. But I put aside all my comics in my to-read list to read this issue of True Patriot Presents number 10. Now, why would True Patriots Present number 10 be significant to us, Dan?
I have no idea, Marty.
Oh, you're so modest. On the cover of True Patriot number 10 is, if
as
I can...
As Marty furiously swipes
on my tablet and it's not coming up, is a big, huge Rocky fellow named the Canadian Sentinel.
Hey!
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
On the cover!
I heard that he's written by a fantastic up-and-coming comic guy named Glenn Scarpelli.
That's how I would draw Glenn Scarpelli right there.
Oh, is it?
So yeah, Dan's issue of Dan wrote Canadian Sentinel, and this is the next installment in the anthology that is True Patriot. So this is kind of like Canadian Sentinel episode 2.
Yes, episode 2. I always call them episodes by accident when I'm like talking to the team.
I think in an anthology it makes sense to call them episodes. I really do, because they're like little mini issues. Like how many is it 8 pages?
Or yeah, it's 8 pages for this one.
8 pages.
How many episodes is it going to run?
So it's going to be 4. Okay. 4 episodes for my story ending in issue 12 of the series.
Yeah.
Very cool, man.
I just love the art and colors on the Sentinel.
Man. Like Justin and Donovan are just crushing it.
Yeah, like Donovan may have been a little annoyed with the amount of water I wrote into the script because coloring water can be very difficult. Like that one panel took forever. But, you know, it just looks phenomenal. Good job, guys.
It is. Right. It's top notch. You guys did a fantastic job.
And I
got to
tell you, Dan, I'm just proud of you for actually not just going for it, but succeeding.
Thanks.
That means a lot. That's amazing, you know? Because who decides I'm going to write comics and then actually does it?
Yes, you could have been the Glenn Scarpelli of comics. A little flash in the pan and then fizzled out. But you got banners at conventions.
Yeah. Now, see, like, honestly, my advice to anybody out there right now is just do what you do and then just ask.
All right.
Like, yeah, exactly.
This came about because I had this story, and so I just asked Tony, who does the True Patriot, and he said yes. The worst they can say is no.
Yeah, exactly.
So
just keep trying.
Do you want to hear the greatest advice I ever heard about comics ever?
Mm-hmm.
It was
don't use it to wipe your butt.
It was one time when I went and saw Stan Lee speak. I've gone and seen Stan Lee a number of times speak at conventions, and one time it was the last question at a panel, and there was a little kid in the front row. And he puts up his hand, and Stanley's pretty grumpy guy. Like, I mean, I don't know. We all think of him as good old bright-eyed Stan. But really, if you go see him speak, he's pretty tired and grumpy these days. And this little kid says to him, I want to write Spider-Man. How do I get to write Spider-Man? And Stanley looks at the kid and he says, first thing you do is you don't go out to write Spider-Man. What you do is you go out there and you create your own character and you create your own world. Because who your competition these days in comics are filmmakers, are novelists. You know, you're dealing with guys like Stephen King and Kevin Smith and Straczynski, like people who have went out and created their own worlds and then get to do these characters. And he says, go out, create your own characters, create your own world, create your own universe, and then maybe you can write Spider-Man. And I thought that was really an amazing piece of advice to young creators, is don't make your goal a character that's already out there. Make your goal is making your name on your own creation, and then perhaps, and we're seeing more and more of that these days, aren't we? Like, look at guys like Jeff Lemire, who are creating, you know, these huge things, or Donnie Coates, or Kirkman, you know what I mean? Like, once you make your name creating a big franchise, something that's not part of, you know, 50 to 70 years of character, then you can come back and write those characters you love. And I think I thought that was an amazing piece of advice Stan Lee gave that kid. And who knows, maybe he inspired that kid to look out of the box instead of looking at someone else's character, creating your own universe. Like, just like you are, you know.
Nobody's going to give you their grade A character in the major publishing company to try out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody tried out and started doing something small first, right? Like, mm-hmm. Leonard Kirk is drawing Star Wars, and he drew Fantastic Four and all sorts of other, you know, Marvel creations and stuff. And yet, one of his first pieces of work was doing a little bit of Captain Canuck stuff for a guy named Richard Cumley, right? Mm-hmm. Before there was even a Chapter House and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you just get out there and you start doing your thing and do as much of it as possible. And, you know, Jim Lee, he drew 8 hours a day, every day, without even having a comic book job, you know, just to, like, this is a business. This is what you got to do. You got to put forth the time and the effort just like you would any other project until you got good enough that he got noticed.
I think there was a time where you could just jump in, though. Like, I mean, look at...
No, they'd put you on some cheesy backup or something this. They wouldn't throw you right into
it. Right, not into the big fans. Like, I'm thinking about Jim... You've heard the story about Jim Shooter and how he got into comics.
Yeah, but they gave him, like, a rinky-dinky Legion of Superheroes that wasn't a big seller at the time.
Okay.
I mean, Legion got really popular later on, but they didn't give him Superman and they didn't give him Batman.
Right.
So, same thing, right? Yeah, I just bought Jeff Lemire's Redneck, large, oversized, soft cover at Chapters. It was on sale sitting there, and I know I didn't get that one, and I wanted to read it, so I picked that one up. That was pretty cool.
Good.
But yeah, like, do your thing. Get it out there.
And that's what Dan Collins is doing.
Yeah. And it goes further, like, you know, come up with an idea, and then, you know, okay, the first thing you have to do, though, is get into the crowd. Like, go to conventions and talk to people, you know, or do a radio show about comics and get to meet people.
That helps.
Like, if once you know people, and then you can say, like, hey, I have this idea, and then they'll be like, okay, that's great, pat on the head, or they'll be like, okay, cool, let's try to do something. So if you know people.
I come up with great ideas all the time, especially for theater productions and movies and TV shows, and everybody doesn't get them, or they think they're really awful. I was trying to come up with, like, I don't know if you guys saw this on Facebook a few weeks ago, but did you see where I was trying to come up with projects for Ricky Martin?
No.
Yes, oh, yeah. I saw those.
Yeah. Okay, so picture this. Ricky Martin plays a former... He plays a former teen idol pop singer. And the members of the band that he was in are getting bumped off. And he has to not only run for his life, but solve the murders in the last minuto. Huh?
It was funny the first time that I saw it.
Crickets.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Was he a member of Menudo?
Yes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Ricky Martin.
Was he a member when they made the Menudo action figures?
Yes.
Like, is there actually a Ricky Martin?
Yes, there is. Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Ricky Martin was the youngest Menudo member during their biggest period. All right. Ricky Martin travels from town to town solving people's problems in The Littlest Menudo. Huh? Huh?
Marty groaned.
You know, I think it's great.
No.
Maybe tomorrow he'll want to settle down.
Did anybody actually enjoy that show?
I don't really remember it.
It was always on, like, during... When I was a kid, it was on so early in the morning. It'd be like I'd have to get up at like 6 o'clock for church or something.
Like it was ending at six thirty.
It
was a CanCon show. It was completely and totally produced as cheaply as possible by CTV, just so that they had Canadian content because nobody was making good TV shows.
Some of the guest stars they had on that show though? Like,
yeah, but
look at
all before they became big.
No, DeForest Kelly was on it.
Yeah. Okay. After they died,
Patrick McNee was on it.
Yeah.
Mike Myers was on an episode, but that was before he was famous. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. I don't know.
Art Hinkle was in like a bunch.
John Candy was in one.
Yeah.
But
that's like, what was that other show I was thinking of?
Trouble with Tracy?
No.
Hilarious Has Frankenstein?
Oh, my God, The Trouble with Tracy. That was another tragedy.
Yeah.
That was a horrible, horrible show.
Yeah, it really was.
No redeeming value whatsoever.
Not one bit.
Yeah, no, I can't remember.
Did you know there was a Canadian Dark Shadows ripoff called Strange Paradise?
No.
Oh yeah, I got the first 15 episodes on VHS.
Nice.
It is awesome.
Awesome as in awesome horrible or awesome?
It was made in what's the station in Ottawa?
Not CHCH.
That's in Hamilton.
Yeah.
CKOJ or
anyways, doesn't matter.
Anyways, they made this Strange Paradise, which was a half-hour daily gothic horror show, and they would show Dark Shadows after school, and then right after that would be Strange Paradise. Yeah, and oh, it's on YouTube. You can watch. I think they have like something like 50 or 60 episodes on YouTube.
Oh my gosh,
you gotta catch it. It's hilarious. Like. Dark Shadows is so chintzy and cheap. And then there's the Canadian Dark Shadows, which is just 100 times more chintzy.
You're talking about DeForest Kelly on Little's Hobo. Wasn't Scotty, James Doon, wasn't he on Danger Bay?
Oh, was he?
Because he's a Canadian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't actually have a Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was on Danger Bay for an episode or two as like grumpy lighthouse keeper or something like that. Oh, man. Now I'm going to have to look that up. There's much I'm going to have to look up because I don't remember anything. And chances are I won't remember to look any of this stuff up.
So chances are.
A weird thing that like Canadians have, okay, man. Is this... This love of Canadian actors who we see in American things.
Sure.
Like, you know, or because, and I was just thinking, like, I don't know if there's anywhere else, like, because like, in America, it doesn't matter. An actor is an actor, whatever, right? But, like, when you see a Canadian actor, like the dad from Danger Bay, who was then the doctor, the old grumpy doctor on Battlestar Galactica, and I loved him.
Yeah.
Loved him on that as that role.
It's like, who was the guy who played the King Kensington?
Al Waxman.
So when you see him as Cagney and Lacey's boss, you know, you're like, yeah.
Well, that's just because it's a Canadian identity. Apparently the same thing's happening with all the British actors that come over and do English-speaking roles. American-speaking roles and have to come up with fake accents. Everybody in England's like, yeah, that guy's actually English. Yeah, he's actually English.
Or you can watch...
Yeah, he's British.
Yeah, you can just watch The Walking Dead, and they're all English actors.
Like, the Australians, same thing, you know? They'll be like... The first thing they'll do is they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know Thor, he's Australian.
But also, like, because...
I think it's just national pride.
Vancouver is such a hub of filmmaking and TV shows that, like... There's almost like a stable of actors that are in every Canadian production, but they're all like American shows.
Yeah.
But you're like, I remember when I saw that guy in this little Canadian show, you know, like
it was like when watching the guy that played Relic on Beachcombers was on an episode of X-Files.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And you know, like Your favorite Canadian star was in X-Files at some point, but while it was filmed in Vancouver. They just were.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's just national pride. That's all.
Yeah. I find it, though, interesting. I remember the first couple times I went to Los Angeles. On multiple occasions, people would say to me, and I'd find this, remember back in the 80s, before you'd go to the States, people say, oh, well, aren't you, it's all woods up there, or y'all live in easy igloos, or y'all drive dog sets. I think somewhere America caught up to knowing that Canada's not like that. Somewhere they did. It depends which Americans and where you're from, but I think generally America has caught up. But I found it bizarre and alarming that the first two times I went to LA, multiple people would say, you're Canadian? I'd be like, yeah. And they go, so do you listen to Celine Dion? And not just once, but we're talking like four or five times. And this is a thing, a friend of mine, I was staying, the second time I went to LA, I was staying with a friend of mine who was from Ireland. And she said the reason they do this, because she gets it all the time with Bono.
Yeah.
Right? And she says the reason they do this is because, and she was using the example of Alex Trebek versus Celine Dion. She goes, Celine Dion's always carrying on about being Canadian. She's always talking about being Canadian, where somebody like Alex Trebek never talks about it.
Right.
So Americans identify that as Canadiana because Celine Dion won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
It's just like a Bono won't shut up about being Irish, you know? And I think a part of that, too, is how much pride does the celebrity themselves bring to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a massive, ginormous hockey league, adult hockey league in Los Angeles, and it's all like Canadian expats, actors and stuff playing hockey.
Wasn't Alan Thicke one?
Alan Thicke is in one of the teams.
Well, you know what Alan Thicke proved to the world? It doesn't matter how healthy you are, you will still die. That is what Alan Thicke
could be worse. Proved. He could be a cow.
You got to eat the cows before they eat us.
And on that bombshell.
I hope they're laughing in the kitchen. I guess that's all the time we've got for this this exciting episode. As always, tune in to Google Play and iTunes for previous episodes of Hey Kids Comics.
And Stitcher.
And Stitcher. And three of us will be in next week to entertain you for another hour.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?